remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. The title for the message today is taken from verse number 12 and also verse 15. Always in remembrance. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you for the freedom that we have to come and be here at church. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. And I do pray that you would bless everyone in a very special way. I pray you would speak to our hearts. You would change our lives for your glory and honor. If there is someone here today that's lost, we pray for their salvation. Lord, we pray for those that we know would sure love to be here today but are not able. We ask you to bless them, to take care of them, and Lord, if it's your will, to give them healing. Lord, I do pray that when we all leave here, we can say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray you would give us the grace and the strength to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And I pray this now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. In the verses here that we just read, Simon Peter tells his readers that as long as he's alive, he's going to remind them of truth they already know. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't want them to learn more truth. It just means that he never wanted them to forget the truth they already knew. And in order to kind of lay a foundation for the main part of the message, or to get us headed in the direction I feel like the Lord wants us to go, I want us to look right here once again at the verses we just read. And there's three things that I want to point out from this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want to talk for just a moment about what I call the priority of reminding. The priority of reminding. If you'll look in verse number 12 again, you'll notice there Peter says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent." Negligent obviously means to neglect. It means to fail to take care of a certain situation, to take the proper care. It means to be careless or laxed in something. And he says here, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Notice, "though you know them." So he's talking here about things they already knew. In fact, he goes on to say in the remainder of that verse that they were established in that present truth. That means that they had a firm grasp on the truth he's referring to. But he still says in the beginning of that verse, he will not be negligent to put them always in remembrance of those things. He was going to do everything he could to make sure they were constantly reminded of these truths, even though they already knew these truths. And that shows me that with Simon Peter, reminding the brethren was a priority. That was a priority in his life as a minister of the Lord Jesus, and I believe it should be a priority in the ministry of any pastor, evangelist, missionary, layperson, whatever the case might be. Any person that is called of God, I think, should make it a priority to remind the brethren of truth they already know. I think sometimes us preachers get the idea that we've always got to come up with something new, something fresh that nobody's ever heard before, and if we don't have some brand new nugget out of the Bible to give people that they've never heard, that we're somehow failing our congregation or not doing the brethren justice. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't study and learn everything that we can and do our best to feed the people, but the fact of the matter is, one of the main priorities we should have as ministers of the gospel is simply reminding the brethren of truth they already know. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and he tells him that if he wants to be a good minister, and I pray that that's the desire of every real minister, that they want to be a good minister, amen? Not good from man's perspective, but good from God's perspective. And Paul tells Timothy, look, if you're going to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have to put the brethren in remembrance of things they already know. So this matter of reminding the brethren should be a priority in the lives of ministers. Here's a second thing I want to talk about for a moment. Not only the priority of reminding, but what I call the purpose of reminding. The purpose of reminding. If you'll look here once again at our text, verse number 13, you'll notice there, Peter says this. He says, yea, I think it meet, which means fitting or appropriate. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. And what is he talking about there when he says this tabernacle? He's talking about his body. Back over in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul refers to our body as the earthly house of this tabernacle. And here Simon Peter says, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I think it meet, notice, to stir you up. How? By putting you in remembrance. So what was the purpose? What is the purpose of reminding the brethren of truth they already know? What good does it do for me or any preacher, any minister, to remind the brethren of truth they already know? Well, according to what I just read, it'll stir you up. Amen? Being reminded of the truth you know will stir you up. Peter did not want these people to get stale in their relationship. He didn't want them to become stagnant and just not moving and engaged. He wanted them stirred up, always moving and active and zealous and excited and engaged in the things of God. That's what he wanted for them, and he knew that in order for them to stay stirred up, he had to constantly remind them of the truth they already knew. And the reason this is the case, folks, is because it is human nature. It's just kind of how we are as human beings, and I think you'll agree what I'm going to say. It's just human nature to sort of get laxed and laid back, if you will, in things that you already know, right? There's just that tendency to kind of go that way. You learn something, and in the beginning, you're all excited about what you learn. You think, wow, that's great, that's awesome, and you do that for a while. But if you don't have someone or something there constantly reminding you of this truth, you just kind of tend to get laxed and lazy in that. You don't give it the priority maybe that you did at one time. That freshness that you had in the beginning when you first learned that truth sort of begins to slip away, and you no longer have that as a major priority in your life, something you're really fired up about. And you can apply this to any truth that you might learn in your life as a believer. So what God has to do is he has to send somebody along our way all along just to stir us back up, to get us moving again, to get us excited again about things, not that we've never heard, but stuff we've already known, we've just let slip in our lives as believers. And that's what Peter's talking about here. I'm going to make sure, he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive and on this earth, I'm going to stir you up. And the way I'm going to keep you stirred up is I'm not going to give you something you've never heard before. I'm going to keep you stirred up by just reminding you of truth you already know. Now here's the third thing I want to say before I get on into the main part of the message. want to talk for a moment about the plan of reminding. Not only the priority of reminding, the purpose of reminding, but the plan of reminding. Look at verse 14 again with me. We're going to look at verse 14 and 15. He says, knowing, so this is something that Peter knew, knowing that shortly, that's before long, I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Peter knew at this point, and I'm not exactly sure how he knew other than the fact that he said it was something the Lord Jesus Christ showed him. But at this point, he knew that he did not have much longer on the earth. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Not going to be long, and I'm not going to be around anymore. Not going to be long, and I'm going to be gone. I'm going to leave this world. That's what the Lord has showed me. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, moreover, that is, in addition to what I've just told you, on top of what I've just said about me reminding you as long as I'm in this tabernacle, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after, notice this, after my decease, that is, after I'm dead, after I'm gone, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He had a plan. This was his plan. As long as I'm here, I'm going to put you in remembrance. But I'm not just going to stop with as long as I'm here. I'm going to do my best to put things in place so that even after I'm gone, even after I die and I leave this world behind, you people will still be constantly reminded of the truth you already know. That was his plan. What this shows me, and what I hope it shows you, is the value and importance of being reminded. We need help with that. Amen? If you question that, think about all of the reminders that you make for yourself even now. Don't we jot down little notes? Many times we jot down the little notes. Why do we jot that down? We say, I'm going to write this down to remind me of something I've got to do. We put things on our phones now that we have all this technology. My wife, she does that quite often because I'm bad about asking her. I'll say, baby, help me to remember this. Or I'll say, remind me to do so and so. And because she realizes that she's getting older in her life now and mind isn't as sharp as it once was, I'm just joking around my wife here. But we do have a lot of different things going on, a lot of different things that we need to take care of, try to stay on top of. And I'll say, would you help me remember this? She'll put it on her phone. And that thing is constantly going off, making a little noise. And I'll say, what is that about? Is that your boyfriend calling you or something? What is that? And all it'll be is a reminder. You told me to help you remember this, so here's a reminder. I'm telling you just what you do. We all need help with this matter of being reminded, and that's one reason why God calls certain people into the ministry and gives them a gift and a responsibility, just so that the brethren, the people of God, can be reminded of things they already know, so we can stay stirred up. So that we won't get lazy and lukewarm and laxed and laid off on the things of God, but so we'll stay stirred up and excited about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, this is what I want to do here just in the next few minutes. I want to show you some things. I want to remind you of some things. I'm not going to give you any new truth this morning that you haven't already heard before, I'm sure. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just not the direction that I feel like the Lord wants us to go. So I'm not going to really give you any new truth this morning. I'm just going to remind the brethren, the saved people in this building here this morning, of some basic Bible truths that I hope and pray will stir us up to be faithful in the things of God. And there's a whole lot of places I could go in the Bible to do this, but what I'm going to do is stay right here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to show you from this chapter here, remind you from what Peter says of three truths that you and I who are saved never need to forget. The first thing is this. According to what I read in the context of our opening text, you and I never need to forget that we have been given things we need. We've been given things we need. If you look back up in this chapter and you start reading in verse number 3, and you look at verse 3 and verse number 4, you see two things there that Peter tells these folk they have been given. Two things he tells the brethren they have been given. And these things, again, are in the context of the passage we started with. So obviously, he's reminding them. Reminding them of things they have been given that they needed very desperately. And you and I have been given these very same things as the people of God. First of all, look there in verse number 3 and notice that we have been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's what the Bible says. Peter says, according as his divine power, that's the power of God, according as his divine power hath given unto us saved people, notice this, all things. Does all things mean some things? Most things? The majority of things? What does all things mean? All things. And this thing says here that according to his divine power, through the divine power of God, we've been given all things that pertain unto life, number one, and godliness, number two. That means that God has already given us saved people everything that we need in order, number one, to live on this earth down here, and number two, to live a godly life while on this earth down here. Now, do y'all understand that principle? It's not a matter of us having to wait around for God to give us something else. It's a matter of us taking advantage of what God has already given. He has already given us everything we need in order to live life on this earth down here. For example, hasn't God given us the Bible? Didn't he give us the Word of God? And listen, folks, the Word of God is not just a book that God gave us to get us from earth to heaven. Now, that's one thing it'll do, amen? Thank God that we can learn in the Bible how to be saved so that we don't have to go to hell when we die. But God didn't just give us the Bible so that we would know how to get from down here to up there. He gave us the Bible so we know how to live while we're down here. He's given us everything we need to know in this book right here to make it through life. Every single thing. It's just a matter of us reading and studying and learning those things, but God's already gave us what we need to know to make it through this life down here. Some people say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through life. It's so rough, the pressure's so bad, and that's kind of how it is sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to wait around for God to give you anything. All you got to do is avail yourself of what God has already provided. He has already given you everything you need for this life. He's already given you everything you need for godliness. Doesn't the Bible provide what you need as a Christian in order to live a godly life? Doesn't it tell you how God expects you to live? Doesn't the Bible tell you what God wants you to do, how he wants you to live as a Christian? Yes, the Bible tells you that. And not only did he give us the Word of God, but he gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us do what he's told us to do in the Bible. And not only has he given us the Scripture, and not only has he given us the Spirit, but he has given us the support of the saints of God to help us through our journey in this life down here. God has already given us what we need to live and to live godly. But look at verse number 4 now. And notice another thing he's given. Not only has he given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but he also has given us exceeding great and precious promises. This is something we talked about not too awful long ago. But look at it again. God has given unto us. It doesn't say he will give. It says he's given. That's past tense. This is something God's already done. He's already given us exceeding great and precious promises. Where are those promises found at? In the Bible? In the Word of God? God has already given you these promises. I'm just reminding you of something you already know. I'm reminding you this morning of the fact that at any time you can open your Bible and you can find promises that God has already given you. Now, I'm all for these little books and things. You know, you get them at the Christian bookstore and other places where they'll tell you special promises for special occasions or for situations you go through, and I'm fine with that. That's all good. But, folks, I think we'd be a heap sight better off if we stopped devoting the majority of our time to books and commentaries and pamphlets and all this other stuff that's put out by good people, and spend more of our time studying the Bible that God has given to us. Get in the Word of God and dig and read and study and find those promises that God has given, and lay hold of those promises and claim those promises and live by those promises. The promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ are yea and amen, the Bible says. We have them right here in the Scripture, and those promises will get you through life when it seems like you just can't go on. Amen. How many people in here this morning could testify? I'm pretty sure every one of us in here could testify if we wanted to, of times when we've been going through something hard, through something difficult, and there was a promise or maybe a group of promises in the Bible that we clung to that got us through those dark times. Amen. That's what those promises will do for you. They'll get you through. God's already gave you those. That's not something that he's going to give you. He's already gave you those promises. And I'm just reminding you that those promises are in the Bible. I was thinking this morning, and there's so many promises in the Word of God that are so wonderful. But I was thinking over this again this morning before I came to church. And here's some promises that are special to me. You know, one thing that really means a lot to me is the promise that I can be forgiven of any sin. Promise that I can be forgiven of any sin. Doesn't 1 John 1:9, isn't that still in the Bible? Isn't 1 John 1:9 still in the Bible? If we confess our sins, isn't that what it says? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know that as a child of God, you can be forgiven for any sin that you ever commit? Now, some people get real nervous when you start preaching on that, because certain folk have accused us Baptist people of just acting like we have a license to sin because we believe in salvation by grace and that sort of thing. Look, I have never promoted sin, and y'all know that, and anybody in their right mind is not going to promote sin. But I'm not going to back up from the truth to pacify anybody. You hear me? I'm not going to hold back from the truth, and I'm not going to be afraid to stand on the truth because it might offend somebody or bother somebody. And this is what I know. If I do something wrong, I have a God in heaven who's faithful to forgive me of that if I confess that sin, whatever it might be. I'm not encouraging people to go out and do wrong. I'm encouraging people to lay hold of the promise of God. That's what I'm doing. And let me ask you this. You ever stand in need of forgiveness? Doesn't the Bible say we're all sinners? The Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isn't that what it says? The Bible says if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Every one of us sin. Every one of us do wrong. Every one of us comes short of the glory of God. It makes no difference how long we've been saved. We all still mess up, right? We all still do wrong, and that sin affects our fellowship with the Lord. But the wonderful thing is I do not have to live under guilt. I don't have to live under condemnation. This is just how easy I believe it is. If I sin, and I'm getting pretty good at that, by the way. I've had almost 46 years of practice on this thing. Sinning just comes natural to a person that's got a sin nature, right? Y'all might as well take your halo off this morning now. Y'all right in the same boat with me. Y'all getting good at it too. But here's the thing. Anytime I sin, anytime I do wrong, I can wallow around in pity And I can let the devil beat me up over that, where I can't have any joy in my life, where I can't have any peace in my life, where I can't carry on and do what I know God wants me to do. Or I can go to 1 John 1:9 and I can confess it and put it under the blood and move on. Those are the options that I have. And I am thankful this morning for the promise of God that I don't have to wallow around in pity every day under condemnation because of something that I did yesterday. Folk, you can put it under the blood and move on. Amen. You can confess it, move on. That's a wonderful promise. Another promise that we know is that we'll never be forsaken by our Savior. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Another promise is that our faithfulness down here will be rewarded at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's promises all through the Bible. But here's something else I want you to notice. Got to move on in this passage here. Number one, you don't ever need to forget that you've been given things you need. Number two, you don't ever need to forget. I'm just reminding you, you need to always remember that as a Christian, you are to grow in grace. You are to grow in your life as a Christian. Look at verse number 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, look at this now, add to your faith virtue. This is to people that are saved. He's telling saved people you need to add some things to your life. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says, add these things to your life. The Christian life is not just about taking things out of your life. We've gone over this before. Some people have the mindset or the attitude, if I stop this and stop this and stop this and stop this and get all this stuff stopped, then I have arrived where I need to be. Well, actually, you've only got about halfway to where you need to be. Because in mathematical terms, which I never was real good in math, if it gets beyond what I can count on my fingers and toes, I'm in trouble, okay? But in mathematical terms, it's not just about subtraction in the Christian life. It's not just about things that you get out of your life. That's part of it, and you and I should always be trying to get anything out of our life that we know is not pleasing to God, amen? If we understand it's wrong, we should do what we can to subtract that, to get it out of our life. But the Christian life's not just about what you get out of your life. It's also about what you put in your life. And that's what he says to them in verse number 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. These are things you need to add to your life as a Christian. So it's not just about getting stuff out, it's about putting stuff in, putting the good stuff in to replace or add to. It's about putting the good stuff in to replace something that's bad or maybe to add to something that's good. Look at what he says again. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Is faith a good thing? That's a good thing, right? Faith in the Lord is a good thing. Y'all with me this morning? Faith in the Lord is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, but he says, add this to your faith. So sometimes the addition is not just to replace something that's bad, it's to add to something that's already good in your life. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and so forth. Add these to the good stuff that's already in your life. But what it shows is that we're to constantly be growing, adding things to our life. Here's the thing, folks. Even if you get to the place where you got faith, where you trust the Lord, that's not the stopping point, right? What does he say? Add to your faith virtue. That shows me constant growth, constant change. Yes, I get saved. Yes, I get rid of some bad stuff. Yes, I add some good stuff, and I'm farther along in my Christian life than I have been in the past. But just because I've added some good stuff and got rid of some bad stuff, that doesn't mean that I've arrived and I need to stop. Hopefully every person in this building today that's saved is farther along and in better shape than you were maybe, say, 6 months ago or a year ago or 5 years ago. Hopefully you've changed. Amen. Amen. I hope to God that you're not where you used to be. I hope you've moved along, got rid of some bad stuff and added some good stuff. But don't stop just because you're not where you used to be. You need to add even more to your life, is what he's saying here. The point is, don't ever be satisfied. I don't care where you are. I don't care what level you're on. And I have found that sometimes we overestimate ourselves. I have found that we think we're a lot further along than we actually are. You know what God's done to me times in my life when I started overestimating myself, thinking that I had the victory over something? He put me in a pressure cooker. You know what I mean? Put me in a little situation, and maybe some of that stuff that I thought I had got out of my life or I thought I had improved to this level in my life, I'm like, man, I got the victory. He'll put me in something, and in about 5 seconds, I realize I ain't as far along as I thought it was. So sometimes we overestimate ourselves. Let me say to you, even if you have progressed a long way, even if you are on a much higher level than you were before, there's not a person I'm talking to this morning that could not add something more to their life. You understand that? So don't ever stop. I'm just reminding you, keep growing. Maybe you have got a whole bunch of bad stuff out of your life. Maybe you have added in the place of that a lot of good stuff. But you're still not perfect, are you? You're still not perfect. There's still room for improvement. There's still room for growth. And we ought to constantly be trying to add good things to our lives. And notice here, look at verse 8, 9, and 10. And I don't have time to get into all this, but look at what this will do for you. Number one, if you'll constantly be growing and adding these things to your life, number one, you won't be unfruitful. You'll be a fruit-bearing Christian. Verse number 8, for if these things be in you, all that stuff he just talked about, these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be a fruitful Christian, bearing fruit for the glory of God if you'll add these things to your life, is what he's saying. But look at verse 9. Here's another thing. If these things are in your life and you're constantly growing, it will help you to not forget that you're saved. Verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind. If you don't have the stuff he's just talked about, if you haven't added that stuff, then he says you're blind, you cannot see afar off, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. You know why some Christians, and I really don't have the time to get into all this, but listen. You know why some Christians are constantly doubting their salvation? Folk that are genuinely saved, you know why they're constantly worried about whether they're going to heaven or not, whether they're really saved or not? It's because they're not growing in their life spiritually. And because they're not growing, they don't see any fruit, any real good fruit. And when they don't have real good fruit showing up in their life, it makes them think, well, I must not be saved. It's like if you've got a tree out there that's a fruit tree. How do you know, I mean really know, that that thing is alive and flourishing? Well, it gets some fruit on it, doesn't it? You can see the fruit. And because there's fruit on it, you know, hey, that tree is not dead. That tree's got some life in it. But if you go by there again and again and again, maybe there's some leaves on it or something, but if you never see any fruit, you know what you think? There's something wrong with that tree. That tree really may not be alive. There's a problem there. And the reason why a lot of saved people are constantly wondering, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? Is because, according to what you just read, they're not adding things to their life that causes them to be fruitful in their service for the Lord Jesus Christ. As you add those things and grow, you produce fruit, verse 8. And as you produce fruit, then you know in your heart that you're saved because you see the good fruit in your life. So doing this will help you not to forget. Number 10, verse number 10. Something else this will do for you. Growing in your Christian life will keep you from falling. He says, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Basically, in a nutshell, what he's saying is make sure you're saved. Make sure that you have trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. There's things you can live in this life and be wrong about and get by with it. You can be wrong about a whole lot of stuff and still go to heaven when you die, right? You can't be wrong about being saved. If you miss that one, if you think you're saved and you're not saved, can't get by with that one. Make it sure. I'm telling you this, and I don't ever, some preachers, I don't understand this, but they try to preach everybody into hell every time they get in the pulpit. And they want retreads, is what I call them. They want somebody to come forward every Sunday and get saved again and get saved again and get saved. I don't ever want to cause you to doubt your salvation. What I want to do is help you be sure about your salvation. But listen, if you are here this morning and you have doubts and you're just wondering about it and you're not sure, there isn't anything wrong with making your calling and election sure. There's nothing wrong with getting sure about going to heaven, amen? Nothing wrong with that. But look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather give, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What he's saying is you won't fall away from the Lord, fall back into sin if you'll do these things he just told you about in 5, 6, and 7. If you'll be adding stuff to your life, you know what'll happen? You'll be growing. You won't be going back. You won't be falling away. You'll be growing, moving forward. Doing this will help you to be faithful in your service to the Lord. And here's the last thing I want to give you, and I'm going to be done. Just reminding you. Already you've been given things you need. Number two, you need to be growing constantly in your life as a Christian. Don't ever forget that. As long as God will give me breath, I'm going to remind you to be growing, to not be stagnant, adding stuff, always trying to improve your spiritual life. Number three, let me say this. You can gain a greater entrance into the kingdom of the Lord. You can gain a greater entrance into the kingdom of the Lord. Look at verse number 11. Just reminding you of this stuff. He says in verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. And here's the key word, I think. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not talking there about whether or not you're going to enter. That's the thing that some people miss when they read that. They read it like there's some question as to whether or not these people were going to enter into the kingdom. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about whether or not they're going to enter. He's talking about how they're going to enter. He's talking about how it's going to be for them when they enter into the kingdom. Now here's what he says. Look at it again. Read the Bible. Don't let your opinion get into it. Read what the Bible says. For so an entrance shall be ministered. He says it will be ministered. In that, he's speaking in the positive, not you might be, you might enter. He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, but look at it, abundantly, abundantly. You know what that means? That means that you can have more rewards and more privileges and more opportunities for service in the kingdom of God if you live a certain way down here on this earth as a Christian. That's what he's saying there. It's not a matter of whether they're going to enter or not. And if you're saved, it's not a matter of whether you're going to enter or not. If you are saved, you will enter the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You will. The question is, how are you going to enter? How's it going to be? And I've talked to you about this in time past. Again, just reminding you of stuff here this morning. Some people have this idea that heaven and eternity and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be the same for everybody. I have yet to figure out exactly why people think that. I don't know. But some people think this. I get saved, it doesn't matter how I live as a Christian, doesn't matter what I do in my life, whether I get any bad out, add any good in, doesn't matter if I grow. When I get there, I'm going to have everything just like everybody else. Heaven's going to be all the same for me. Folks, that's not what the Bible teaches, okay? Heaven's going to be different and eternity's going to be different for saved people. And there are people that are saved. Yes, they're saved and they're on their way to the kingdom. There's no doubt about it. They're going to get there. No doubt about that. But I promise you, they're not going to have in that kingdom what a lot of other saved people are going to have when they get to the kingdom. They're not going to have as an abundant entrance as some people are, because in their life down here, they were not faithful to add to themselves like God told them to. Some people need to get a hold of that truth, just reminded of it, because they're saved folk, they're just coasting along. I'm not talking about them really doing a whole lot of bad stuff, but they're just coasting in their Christian life. I love you with all my heart. If you don't know that by now, I don't guess you ever will. There's some of you in here this morning, you just coasting is all you're doing. You're not really plugged into the things of God. You're not serving the Lord like you need to. You're not growing in your life like you need to. You're not adding things to your life like you need to. You've got to a point in your life and you're satisfied. You settled down. You're content right where you are, and you're just coasting. And your attitude is, at least I ain't going to hell when I die. At least I'll be there. As long as I'm there, that's all that matters to me. Well, I guess being there is better than the alternative. Better than going to hell, amen? But that ain't no attitude for a Christian to have. Just coast along, as long as I'm there. And some of you are coasting because you've forgotten the reality of what I'm talking about. You're coasting along because you think in your mind that no matter how you live your life as a believer, you're going to have the same rewards and blessings as every other believer. And I'm reminding you this morning, that's not the way it's going to be, friend. There's going to be a lot of believers that get a lot more than you if you keep on coasting like you're coasting right now. If you don't get more engaged and more stirred up in the things of God and become more faithful than you are right now, you're not going to get an abundant entrance into the kingdom. Yeah, you'll get in there. You'll get in. But it won't be as abundant. And here's the last thing I'm going to say about this. The devil has got some of you so duped that you think it really ain't going to matter. Maybe you realize, I'm not going to have as much as some of those other Christians do in eternity, but I ain't worried about it. I ain't worried about it. Ain't really no big deal. It may not be a big deal to you now, but I promise you, when we're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see other Christians getting more crowns and more rewards and more blessings and more privileges and more honors bestowed on them because they were faithful, and they have that much more to give back to the one who's the only one worthy of our praise, I promise you, right then, you will forever regret the fact that you coasted through your Christian life and did not serve him as faithfully as you could. I promise you it'll matter in that day. And my word to you this morning, my word to you, is you need to stop coasting. Be reminded today that you need to be growing in your life so that things will be better for you in eternity. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth, for the promises that we have. Thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, help us, please, every last one of us. Give us the grace to add things to our life that's not there. To make changes, not just coast along and be satisfied where we are, but to get more committed and more sold out and more dedicated to the things that we already know, the truth we're already established in, so that, Lord, it'll be better for us in eternity. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.